We turn in God's Word in Matthew chapter 26, page 877. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. We'll read through verse 30. People of God, hear the good news of salvation in Christ. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We look together in the Belgic Confession, page 85, Belgic Confession, article 33, as we begin a segment of the Confession on the Sacraments. 500 years ago, the focal point of debates concerning the very heart of the gospel . This confession concerning the sacraments. We believe that our gracious God, taking account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises and to be pledges of the good will and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he declares to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the signs are not empty or meaningless so as to deceive us, for Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of the sacraments which Christ our Lord has instituted, which are two only, namely, the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, it is the promise of the gospel that is sealed by the sacraments. The promise that we hear in the preaching of the word. Excuse me. They're a sealing, a sign, and a seal. But here was the great question. At the time of the Reformation, there was an attack, an undermining of the sacraments from two sides, not just one, but two sides. One was the historic practice of Roman Catholicism. And we'll certainly be looking at more of that in the weeks to come as we continue to look at the Lord's Supper in particular and baptism and the sacraments themselves. This is an introduction to the sacraments, although one might say, how can you have an introduction looking at Matthew 28? Well, we will look at Matthew 28, but we will look at the teaching concerning the very nature of the sacrament from Matthew 28. And on the other side was a group called the Anabaptists. And the Anabaptists' fundamental error was not on when a person was baptized, though they declared infant baptism to be illegitimate, but what baptism was. And this article in particular would address the error of the Anabaptists. And that error centered on a declaration that the sacraments were a profession of faith. They were a visible proclamation of our faith. Now, they had that the object of that faith is God, but the sacraments were fundamentally man communicating to God and not God communicating to man. And in every emphasis of the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Reformed and the Reformation of the Church was a rediscovery, a recommitment, a reformation to this great declaration that the sacraments are God, are means that God is using to communicate to us. It is a communication from God to us. Now that communication begins with preaching. And so the sacraments can never stand alone. Now, that wasn't the problem of the Anabaptists. They emphasized preaching, but it was a problem of Roman Catholicism. But the sacraments can never stand alone. Indeed, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper does not stand alone. For in Matthew chapter 26, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is set before us in the Word of God, a Word that is to be preached, a Word that gives instruction. And the Word of God in Matthew 26 informs us that Jesus taught His disciples about what the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was, even as He instituted it. It was a sign and seal of the promise of the Gospel. And it's preceded by preaching, by teaching. Jesus and Matthew chapter 26 is itself the Word of God teaching us concerning the sacrament before we ever partake of it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The teaching of God's Word concerning the sacraments must precede the church's administration of the sacraments. And it must continually, the sacraments must continually be in the context of the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Note where the sacrament is given. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, couldn't have Jesus given it earlier? It was after 3 years of instruction, now granted, it's also a point of redemptive history. There is no doubt. In other words, Christ is about ready to die on the cross. And so he instituted. But it also is that Christ is bringing this to his disciples after he taught them for 3 years. He's bringing it to his disciples as he's teaching them in the initiation of the sacrament itself. It is a visible sign and seal that has been talked about. Jesus talked about his own death. And he would certainly talk about his death even more so in the apostolic declaration, the full revealing of the mystery of Christ, the death of Christ, in the apostolic witness, the New Testament in its fullness, including, of course, the Gospels. And Jesus continued to teach, following the institution of the sacrament through his apostles and prophets. And we now have that New Testament, the word of our ascended King concerning the sacrament. And in our text, in our scripture, we can see that there is no way to understand the words that are given or the nature of the sacrament apart from the Old Testament. The giving of the sacrament, of course, we know is in the context of the celebration of the Passover. The Passover, which is taking place at the same time that Jesus is put on the cross. And so, anticipation of his own death, Christ institutes the sacrament. And out of the reality of his own death, he institutes the sacrament of baptism just a couple of chapters later. But Jesus is now driving home the point of not the shadow of the Old Testament that's looking to him, but seeing but a shadow on the ground. But he is now giving it to us in the light of his death, ultimately resurrection and ascension. The scriptural background, the Old Testament background, is essential. What is the word covenant about? What is the significance of blood? What does it mean to have remission of sins? All of these, what does it mean when there's a Father's kingdom? All these terms, rooted and grounded in the Old Testament, once again pointing out the absolute necessity to have a word that informs us concerning the revelation of a sacrament. And so, Jesus Christ now declares that there is one sacrifice to come. And in the institution of the sacrament, Christ is declaring that the Old Testament ceremonial system is over. Because this is the blood of the covenant. This is the kingdom of the Father, the initiation of the kingdom of the Father to a new perspective, the messianic kingdom. This is a radical change. And ultimately because of that cross, which is but hours away. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which are offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. But the one sacrifice is what's focused on, the sacrifice of Christ. So the Old Testament, the people of God could see in all the ceremonies the shadow of Christ. But now we see the fullness of Christ. But how do we see the fullness of Christ? Once again, this points out the necessity for the preaching of the word. We see the fullness of Christ in the preached word of God. the preached word of Matthew 26, the preached word of Romans, the preached word of the Old Testament and the New Testament united together in a common testimony concerning Jesus Christ. The preaching of the word is like the light shining on the reality that cast a shadow in the Old Testament. It's the preached word that we see Christ face to face. It is in the Word of God preached. It's in the Word of God studied. It's in the Word of God read. But it is certainly the Word of God which sets before us Christ, the Passover Lamb, the object from which the shadow is seen and the object that we see clearly through the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And so that same word is needed today wherever the sacraments are celebrated, wherever they're administrated. We need the word of God to be involved. They cannot stand alone. They can't simply be activities. They are not themselves, in and of themselves, a means of grace. Simply partaking doesn't make you. They are not grace themselves, but they are a means that God has given us in order to know and have confirmed the promise of the gospel. Now, the Belgic Confession, and this clearly is seen in our text, the sacraments are instituted by God. They're instituted by God in Christ. Jesus took bread. Jesus is the one that institutes the practice of the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 28, just a couple of chapters later, in the Great Commission, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Once again, the emphasis between the preached word and the teaching of God's word and the sacraments. You can't have the sacraments being presented and then teaching in a language that isn't even known by the recipients. I heard this week that a chapel message was given at Zion Christian in which the speaker spoke and then he spoke in Latin. And no one, well, they do have some Latin there. Maybe a few people picked up some things. But basically, if I were to start speaking the service in Latin, you would not know what I was saying. You wouldn't know. And so it's so important that we hear the taught word. It's expected. You teach the nations. You don't simply go through motions of a sacrament. And yet, they are holy activities, the Lord's Supper and baptism. They are set apart activities of daily experiences in a set apart setting. In other words, baptism could be looked at as being washed, or so that's a washing. And the Lord's Supper is eating bread and drinking wine, the fruit of the vine. Grape juice, it's eating food. It's what we do every day. But these then are set apart activities by God, as we see Christ instituted in Matthew 26, Christ instituted in Matthew 28. "For this is my blood of the covenant." They are holy activities. Now they're done in a different context. And the rest of the of Scripture would testify to this. It is a declaration of Christ to his disciples, of the Word to us, of God to us as holy activities. They are set apart within the church of God, just as Jesus is setting apart the eating and drinking in the context of the Passover feast. And now he's focusing. And so all that went on in the Passover feast at this in this night when Jesus and his disciples gathered, all that was going on there, there could have been great detail in Scripture about the Passover lamb. And there was talk about how everything was prepared. Do you ever see that in Scripture? There's a chapter on how that Jesus Christ had a miracle in which he had the room and everything is prepared. And he tells them they're going to meet a certain man in a certain place. And it's all perfectly arranged. And they get there and there's no description of the Passover at all. There's no lengthy explanation about how they celebrated the Passover, just that they were prepared and they were up there doing it. And in the midst of that, what's important? The institution of the Holy Supper. That's why it's there. Because the Passover is a shadow that's going into the background. And the Lord's Supper is taking its place. Because now we see clearly the Christ on the cross. And this now becomes a holy enterprise, a holy activity, a sacramental from the Latin word. We will talk a little bit about Latin, sacramentum, or meaning holy, a holy place, a holy thing, a holy act. See, the Greeks had one view of setting apart, and the Hebrews had another view. In the Greeks, you could set yourself apart. And so sacramentum was a word that was used to describe when a Greek soldier made an oath to his leader to follow him to death. That was called a sacrament. He was set apart. He was setting himself apart wholly to serve that leader. He made an oath. The New Testament's use of the New Testament to use the word sacrament, that's Latin. The New Testament is Greek. And the New Testament theme of holy is that God sets things apart. That God communicates to us. It is the total opposite of the Roman view. It is the Old Testament and New Testament view. That God is the one who sets these things apart as a seal of the promise, of the word, of a promised word, and a sign of the promised word. Did you know in the Belgic Confession, it isn't like the sacraments are one thing. It isn't as if the blood of Christ only does one thing. It does many things. You think of the blood of Christ as washing us from our sins. Absolutely. But the blood of Christ also appeases the wrath of God. It does more than one thing. So the sacrament in the Belgic Confessions are declared to do more than one thing. And when Jesus instituted the supper here, he was instituting a practice that did more than one thing. So what are the things that the Belgic Confession says that it does? It would seal the promise of the covenant. The promise of a covenant is an agreement between God and man, an agreement that God is declaring, an agreement that God is making. The covenant of grace. A covenant that God fulfills and is fulfilled by Christ. It is God at work. And it seals that. It puts God's seal on it. So In the Belgic Confession, it says, this has ordained the sacrament for us, thereby to seal unto us His promises. Not to seal, it's not sealing our promise to God. Neither baptism or the Lord's Supper does that. They're both the promises of God being sealed by God in the sacrament. To be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us. Jesus Christ was taking that bread and He said to the disciples, "You take, you eat. This is My body. This is the blood which is shed for the remission of sins. For many is shed for many for the remission of sins. I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in My kingdom." Christ is nurturing. He is helping. He is strengthening His disciples. He is giving them hope. And they needed it, as they were soon going to themselves deny or run away from Christ. And they would see Christ on a cross. And so the word of the Lord comes, and it comes as a seal of that gospel. But not as a magic formula. Again, it is not simply a form. It's just not a practice that you go through and magically this happens. This was the great controversy of the Reformation that would declare the two sacraments are signs and seals of the gospel, not seven that are themselves declared to be the way you work your way to heaven. It is the opposite of the gospel of a declaration of salvation by works, which included in the Roman Catholic system works by doing the sacraments. We would do the work. God is the one who has done the work. Christ is the one that gave Himself for our sin. And so it is that we look to Christ. And the sacraments are signs and seals of that. They impress the truth of God upon our hearts. The new covenant. They're a sign and seal of the new covenant. Remember in the Old Testament, when the covenant of grace was given to Abraham, and God split the animals, and He walks between them, and He makes a declaration. Where the covenant is broken, there must be death. But God is the only one that walks between the animals. And that means that God is the one who will ultimately pay the price and fulfill every aspect that makes our relationship with God possible. He fulfills it. And now Christ is declaring, this is the blood of the new covenant. Not new in the sense that the old wasn't a covenant of grace. It is the covenant of grace that continues. It's new in the sense of the fullness of what was expected to come in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, the new covenant is described in these words in verse 9 and following. Then He said, "Behold, I have come to do Your will, O God." He takes away the first, that He may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made footstools. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One offering. The new covenant now firmly established. The new covenant in the terms of the newness because of the sacrifice of Christ is complete. And all the Old Testament sacrifices pointing to it. It's this covenant that the sacraments sign and seal. It's this covenant that they are a sign of. It's this covenant that is sealed by the sacraments. It is the covenant that is rooted in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His person, in His work, the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. This is my blood. This is my body. The sacraments are signs and seals of the glorious work of grace given us by Jesus Christ. Us, sinners in need of a Savior. Us, those who have been set apart and thereby saints in need of a Lord to lead and guide and direct. We are weak. He is strong. This is my body. This is the blood of the covenant unto the remission of sins. And so every time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, every time we are nourished by that visible sign and seal, we declare, take, eat, remember. Look to Christ and believe. Believe. There is a place of faith in the sacraments. There is a place of faith. It is not a profession of faith, but we partake by faith. We embrace the promise that is declared by faith. In the declaration of the Lord's Supper, we are embracing the promise as we partake of it in a repeated manner. In the proclamation of the gospel in baptism, we embrace the promise that is made because it is a once and for all promise, because it refers to the once and for all sacrifice of Christ and the justification that takes place once and for all. And so there is a constant response to the sacrament by faith. We participate in the Lord's Supper by faith. We embrace the promise of baptism by faith. But the proclamation comes first. And then we embrace what is declared by faith. It's an oath from God. In a practice, there was a declaration that we could consecrate and make holy the elements of the sacrifice. What do we mean by that? That the elements themselves were holy. The elements are earthly elements. They remain bread and wine. They remain bread and the fruit of the vine. Water remains water. But God is still ministering by faith. And we embrace what is declared by faith. We partake by faith. We profess our faith in the promises that are made. What a joy it is that next week we will prepare for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, although we're probably doing that tonight already, aren't we? And next week we have young men who will profess their faith in Jesus Christ. All of that a response to the verbal and visible proclamation of God's promise. And we respond by saying, I believe what is proclaimed. I believe what is sealed. I believe this sign. I believe the truth of it explained and preached. And now I embrace it. I believe in the promise. I believe in Christ. I have faith in God. I believe His Word. That is the proper response to baptism. That's the proper response to the Lord's Supper. It's to embrace the promise, to rejoice in the promise, to take hold of the promise, to live out of the reality of the promise by faith. Many of you have celebrated the sacrament. Probably almost all of you have been baptized. Do you take hold of the promise by faith? Do you live every day by faith in that which the sacraments are a sign and a seal? Do you rejoice in the Word and believe the Word that is declared concerning the sacrifice of Christ, the new covenant in His blood? Do you look to Christ as the only one through whom you can be saved? Do you rely upon that one who the promises of the gospel signed and sealed in the sacraments strengthens and promises to strengthen us? Do you believe that God is helping you? This is all in the sacrament. That I can't nourish myself, that I cannot wash myself, that I cannot save myself, that I cannot even profess my way into heaven, but that God has provided a way in Christ. One of the final purposes of the sacraments that are declared is that the sacraments are given to nourish and strengthen our faith. The sacraments preached explained by the Word, participated by faith, are themselves a nourishment because the Holy Spirit is at work. Jesus doesn't mention the Holy Spirit in connection with the sacraments in Matthew 26. But the Holy Spirit, in that chapter that we've looked at several times from Hebrews chapter 10, is certainly mentioned. That God is at work in us as we, by faith, look to the Word signed and sealed in the sacraments. Hebrews chapter 20, tying together the sacrifice of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the covenant. All those things tied together. Remember verse 14, Hebrews 10. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, those who are being made holy. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. A new covenant for the remission of sins. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Word and the wonders of its explanation concerning the glories of a new covenant in Christ and the signs and the seals of that new covenant in baptism and Lord's Supper, that, O Lord, that we may with boldness embrace those truths and we may enter into the Holy of Holies, into sincere worship, that we might be fed by the Spirit and the Word and by visible signs and seals of your glorious promise of salvation in Christ. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.